Hello, everyone. You are listening to the CASA Connection podcast. I am Jeff Warren here at CASA of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties. We hope you are doing well. We hope you are enjoying the CASA Connection podcast. Feel free to head on over to our website, casashaw.org, and you can follow us on the twitter.com at @casa_shaw. Same handle over at Instagram as well. And feel free to like our Facebook page. You can search us out there. We have got a great, great discussion and podcast this week for you with one of our CASA ambassadors. We absolutely love her. We love the videos that she has done for us and just the fact that she's in our lives here at CASA Shaw. And her name is Brittany, and we thank you so much for being on this podcast, Brittany.
Thank you for having me, as always, Jeff.
You're very welcome, and we just thank you because your story and how inspirational, quite frankly, it is for a lot of individuals, not just here on our staff, but just for individuals that hear your story that, you know what, somebody can go through foster care and they can come out of it being successful and being a good type of person, being a productive, amazing person within our society. You embody that, quite frankly.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. And it's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on this podcast. But first, to really talk about the trauma aspect of foster care, being removed from your home and just navigating through that process. And I guess, why don't we let folks kind of get to know you a little bit and your story? So if you can kind of take us back to when you were removed from your home. How old were you when that happened?
I was 15.
15 when that happened, removed from your home. And from my recollection, it was basically due to some substance abuse, correct, within your immediate family?
Yes, substance abuse. My dad was physically abusive towards me. There was a lot of emotional abuse as well, verbal abuse, just an all-around interesting situation.
Interesting situation. A not good situation,
yes,
right?
Yes, no, not a good interesting.
When you look back on the traumatic aspects of being removed from your home, what do you think was really a prevalent thought process of yours and the feelings that you had at that point? Like from that, when that removal happened, what was it like? Like what were those feelings and that thought process back at that time?
I mean, I'll put it to you this way. It's so traumatic that I could remember step by step that day as if it were yesterday.
Yeah.
Like literally, I can tell you the weather that day, where I was, what I was wearing, what my parents looked like. It's a day that has not left my mind. It's in the back of my mind. Don't get me wrong. It's not something I think about daily. But when someone asks me about it, I can detail it for you very easily as if it were a birthday celebration or, you know, something else you want to remember. And it's unfortunate to me because I feel like there's a stigma around that it's, oh, it's okay, there's foster care. Foster parents.
Yeah.
It's okay. But I don't think anybody ever stops to think like what that does to a child of any age. I mean, just think about your first day of kindergarten. You have kids crying for mommy because they're leaving for 5 hours.
Right.
They're going to go home at the end of that.
Right.
And they know that.
Right.
Now, you take a child that knows nothing else other than this world, whether it be traumatic or a beautiful family, and you rip them away from the only thing they ever know. Adults don't know how to process that.
Right.
At all.
Adults, let alone children.
Exactly. Look at what happened with COVID. Adults can't do change.
Right.
You know?
What a great point. Seriously. And I don't mean to laugh, but it's a great point.
It's the truth. And that's kind of why I, as being somebody who was in that situation, get a little flustered when people are like, oh, it's okay. There's foster care. It can be a beautiful answer to a tragic situation. Don't get me wrong. There's amazing foster homes out there. But there's still a trauma behind it. No matter how smooth the transition is, no matter how much you have in place, there's going to be trauma that needs to be addressed.
There absolutely is. And it's not just trauma from, how can I say, you know, it's not just the removal and, okay, I'm going to be going somewhere else to live with some of my things, but it's what's going to happen with my schooling? What's going to happen with getting meals and food?
Yep.
What's going to happen with clothing that I know that I'm going to need? It's that type of basic necessity aspect of it where I think a lot of people don't really realize that.
No,
correct?
It puts a lot of responsibility onto a child, really. I mean, of any age, like you just said. I mean, I was handed my insurance card, my birth certificate, my social security card. These are things I never seen before then. I mean, that's something mom and dad take care of. Why would I even know what to do with those pieces of documentation? I was like, okay, well, what do you want me to do with these now? You know, what's the next step? And like you said, it's, especially at 15, that's school and sports and friends and just a whirlwind of, you don't know. It's such an unknown that it's so uncomfortable that it's, even if you have a good match in a family, you're going in uncomfortable.
You're going in uncomfortable. There's uncertainty. And because of that, sometimes foster youth may, quote, act a certain way.
I was that.
Oh, you were that individual, huh?
That was Brittany. That was me. I was very reluctant to any kind of assistance. I mean, even when you guys came into my life, which was a, now looking back as an adult, was a huge blessing. I couldn't be more thankful. But because there was so much taken from me and I had no control over anything, literally nothing anymore at that point. And there were so many adults and people who just, well, we know better and we know what to do and we're going to implement this and we're going to do this. And never anybody stopped and said, Brittany, what would you like until CASA?
Yeah.
So by time CASA came around, though, I was that reluctant teen that was like, you know what?
Yeah.
No.
When you're removed and when you're removed from your home, the trauma happens. Behaviors begin to obviously change.
Oh, 100%.
And I think the general population at times doesn't understand that and realize that.
No.
The trauma is real. And I don't mean to sound like try to come up with some phrase, but the trauma is real. And therefore, not the best type of behavior will at times come out in youth because of what they have gone through from a traumatic experience.
No, I agree 100%.
Yeah.
Parents expect these well-behaved, well-adjusted children to walk into their home and just fit into their family.
Right.
Like
right.
It's normal or something.
Yeah.
There's nothing normal about this situation. And I'm sorry to say, but if you're going to be in that role as a foster parent or whatever the situation may be, you need to be prepared.
Yeah.
You need to know that this child may become a recluse. This child may lash out. This child may flunk out of school. I mean, there are things. I was a straight A student and I stopped showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Literally just stopped showing up.
Right.
I had dreams to go to University of Michigan. I mean, their acceptance rate is what, 20%?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a total turnaround of my entire attitude. It just put such a nasty taste in my mouth for just life in general. And it took years, really, to be honest with you, to get rid of that. You have to build trust back up. There's so much building that takes place after that.
That's a really good area that I wanted to dive into next. You mentioned the word trust. Trust is such an important word, I think, within the foster care system, in that you're not going to trust necessarily that resource home, those resource parents, those foster parents. You're not necessarily going to trust them, but it's one of the reasons why we hope, and it's our goal at CASA, to make sure that foster youth have that one stable adult in their life that they can trust. And that takes time, of course, to develop that relationship. But can you kind of tell us about the trust aspect of what you went through, not trusting and then getting to a point of, okay, I'm going to start trusting some individuals. Can you tell a little bit about that?
Sure. Well, for me personally, I mean, I went through so much at home where I was already weary of certain situations. You know, in a lot of those abusive situations, you have to learn how to live within that negative surrounding.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you already have that wall up as it is, because within your own family, I can't trust mom and dad are going to give me lunch money. I can't trust mom and dad are going to wake up on time, you know?
Yeah.
And those are your parents. They're the people you're supposed to trust the most in the world. So taking someone out of that situation, throwing them into a stranger's home and saying, oh, here, trust that the food they're going to give you is good and that they're going to put clothes on your back and not beat you, you know, things that you're already exposed to, is you're asking a lot of a person. And it always takes time. And unfortunately, in the foster care system, you don't always get that time. Sometimes you're moved 2-3 times a month, a year. You don't know.
Different schools.
Exactly. Yeah. And that uncertainty definitely damages the trust bond, because you're like, well, why bother building this relationship when it's going to fall apart.
Right.
So you're not even willing to at that point. And I think that's a lot of what happened with me. I was kind of like, let me just keep everybody at an arm's length. I'm safer this way. They're safer that way.
That's a good point. Yeah.
And I don't have to worry in the long run about who I'm losing, who I'm not losing, and so on and so forth.
You, a few months ago, did an awesome video for us here at Casa Shaw, and we titled it The Light Switch Moment that you had, because within that video, you talked about your light switch moment when it came to Casa, when you knew at a specific point in time, wow, they're actually here for me. They're here to help. They are here to be somewhat of a foundation for me and folks that I can lean on. Can you tell those who are listening right now about that light switch moment?
Oh, of course. I mean, I can sit here and talk all day about different situations that have happened within Casa that have been, you know, such a, wow, I didn't think people still did nice things like that.
Right.
But it was, like I had mentioned earlier, it was the asking me what I wanted.
Right.
Not just, Brittany, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
Brittany, this is where you're going to go.
Right.
It was never that kind of conversation with Casa ever.
I remember you were so shocked when you initially told, like, you were so shocked.
I was.
Like, what your Casa volunteer at the time was like, well, what do you want? And you were just like, you didn't know what to say.
I honestly didn't. I was so shocked at that point that I said, oh, wow, I don't even know how to answer this question. I wanted everybody to ask me this.
Right.
But I have no idea. A big, big, big factor was my schooling. Like I had said, I was good in school and I wanted to finish high school. I was pregnant at 17. And Dyfus's answer was, well, we're going to pull you out of school and get your GED.
Right, right. Yeah.
And I was like, no, I'm in honors classes. I'm about to graduate. This doesn't make any sense. Please stop.
Yeah.
I don't want that. Not to discredit a GED in any way, shape, or form.
Right.
That's just not what I wanted.
That's not what you wanted for yourself. You knew what you wanted for yourself.
Exactly. But especially back then, nobody wanted to hear anything that came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
At all. But there was a meeting held. And I mean, I know Karen was there and she was a supervisor at the time. My mm-hmm. actual CASA worker was there at the time. So they just came through like, you know, we're here. And in the middle of the meeting, interrupted one of the women speaking and was like, no, I don't think you're understanding. This is not what she wants.
Right.
And all the other workers are kind of just, you know, like following suit, like, oh, okay.
Right.
Okay. But CASA was the one that was like, no. We spoke to Brittany directly. Brittany wants X, Y, and Z. And I sat there and went, whoa. Check these ladies out.
And that was the light switch moment right there.
And that's definitely one of the biggest,
yeah.
I mean, moments where they jumped in. I mean, there's so many examples I could give of like, they did this or they said this. And it's not even a matter of the individual person. It's the whole organization. Like, I've had so many people. Yes, I always had my one CASA, which was amazing because at one point I had 7 different Dyfus workers.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you supposed to help a child when you're filing through a case?
Right.
Constantly.
Exactly.
To me, that doesn't make any sense. I understand the burden they bear. I do. It's extreme. But again, to me, how are you really helping that child when you're just cycling through a file?
Right. Exactly. And that's what we don't want to happen here at CASA.
Exactly.
We don't want children and youth to be a file just being pushed across a desk or in front of a judge's face. We want to make sure that individuals that are part of this process and part of the system know, understand, and embrace the fact that you are your own individual. You're your own person. You need to have a voice. And it was so amazing that CASA was able to give you that voice. That you wanted.
It took me back, definitely, because again, I wasn't expecting it at all. When I was given a CASA to do something that unfortunately somebody else was already tasked with, long story short.
Yeah.
So in my brain, I was like, whatever, one more worker. I guess I'll just put up with her because I have to.
Yeah.
That was my unfortunate mind state. But because of the bitter taste that was put in my mouth by everybody else that was already cycled through so many times. And when you're treated like a file or a case and not an individual, again, those walls are built and they're built strong and they're built for a reason.
Yeah. And you came out on top of everything in the end. And we are actually going to be getting into that in the next podcast episode. So folks, you're going to have to wait for Brittany's story in terms of how she was really aging out and really making everything on her own, but because she did have the support of CASA, because she had the support of her CASA volunteer. So Brittany, thank you so much for talking about your story when it came to trauma. And we're next podcast episode, we're going to be getting into that aging out process and what life has been like for you since. So folks, head on over to CasaShaw.org. That is our website. And you can also follow us on social media at Casa_Shaw on Twitter, on Instagram. Like our Facebook page as well. Search us out there. And we will catch you on the next Casa Connection episode.